Hey. I know the lights created a bit of a delayed reaction, so I'll give you guys a pass this morning. Hey, I want to kind of reiterate what Daniel said. Happy Independence Day. It's weird. I always get confused on how you greet people with holidays. It's like Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Like, I mean, so jolly Independence Day, maybe? I don't know. But I just love the idea of freedom and the fact that we are free. Even the word, like just the word freedom is like, yeah, you know what I mean? Matter of fact, Ian came over to the house the other day. Ian's a huge man. And he came over to the house the other day. He's like, what are you talking about Sunday? I was like, it's Independence Day. I got to talk about freedom. And almost simultaneously, we're like, freedom! You can't help it. And so anyway, that's what we're talking about this morning is freedom. And freedom within the context of Christianity is absolutely huge. Like, it's so important. And what's cool is, I guess it's cool because it fits into kind of our overcorrect series and everything that we've been talking about. There's also these ways with which we handle freedom sometimes that we go too far with freedom. How many of you know, let me give you an example. Parenting and raising kids and all that stuff. You know, man, I thought I knew everything about life. And then kids came, right? And you're an idiot. You don't know anything. And they'll tell you you don't know anything. I mean, it's kind of the way. My daughter, she's 12, and I swear she thinks I'm the dumbest person on the face of the earth. But one day, she's going to realize she got it good. I mean, in my opinion. Anyway, so with freedom and I guess the idea with kids, for example, if you give kids all the freedom in the world, you're really doing that to their detriment. It's harmful for them because they need some restraint. They need some parameters to work in and all of that stuff. So freedom doesn't mean that you just do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want to do it. Like, that's not really what freedom is. And we'll talk about all this stuff kind of in detail. Again, in Christianity, freedom is just a critical component. It's a pillar. It's a staple within Christianity. In fact, we'll kind of start with a story about Jesus. I absolutely love this story. It's found in Luke chapter 4. And so Jesus, apparently he spent a lot of time in the temple, and he would, you know, listen to what they had. These people, I just got to give all of the context in the story here. So the people that led the temple of the day, like the Pharisees and the rabbis and people like that, we have no idea. We don't understand. We don't even have a person that we could compare these guys to because they were so intelligent. They led, the people that led the synagogues and the temples, the priests, the rabbis, or whatever you want to call them. I guess they'd be rabbis technically. They memorized the entire Old Testament, word for word, verbatim. Like, we can't even, like, I mean, it's so hard for us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? And they knew the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, not just the names of the books, all of the content of the books. Like, these guys were absolutely brilliant, and they memorized all of this stuff, and they devoted their lives to it. So Jesus would go into the temple, and he would just listen to them. He'd listen to them talk and kind of their discourse and their explanation of certain Old Testament verses. And one day, like, I guess it was his turn, right? So Jesus stands up. He reads this passage from Isaiah, and it's we find kind of the reiteration of that in Luke chapter 4. And this is what he said, and it was, I could just imagine that this was the first drop mic event in history. Like, Jesus is like, done. Dropped his mic and walked out. So anyway, this is what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And again, this is a passage that you find in the book of Isaiah. So it was written hundreds of years before, and Jesus is standing up and he's reading this. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And there's one little verse after that. And then he just sits down. And he's like, basically, the kind of the idea of the summation is that Jesus is like, hey, you know that verse that you've been talking about and you've been reading in Isaiah and you know so well? That's me. And he drops the mic and he sits down. I thought that was awesome. But anyway, the point of all of that is that kind of within the context of Jesus saying, hey, this is what I came here for. I came to set people who are prisoners, not physical prisoners, I'm sure that is an aspect of it, but people who are mental prisoners or spiritual prisoners or emotional prisoners or... Hey, did you guys know we had a guest in the house today? Stevie Wonder is with us. I had to do that, Mikey. I'm sorry. And you're throwing stuff at me. Will you grab this? I don't understand. And so he came to set prisoners free. And then it, like, kind of the end of that verse, it says to set the oppressed free. So freedom is this idea that's huge in Christianity. It's paramount. It's so important. And I know that so many of you guys have experienced this like I experienced this. Like, I don't know what your story is or kind of what how things played out for you. But I know for me, like, I was set free from a lot of things in my life by God. Like, there's just no explanation. Like, it's not willpower because I don't have any. I mean, put cheesecake in front of me and see what happens. I ain't got any willpower, you know? And there was just so many things that were unhealthy and unholy that I was involved in that God has set me free from. And that's what freedom is about. That's the upside of freedom. But there's a downside of freedom, and that's when we fail to pay forward the freedom that we've received. That's the downside of freedom. When we take advantage of the freedom that's been given to us, then that's kind of the underbelly, the downside of freedom. Something that tends to happen, usually with time or influence, is that people fail to pay forward the freedom that they've received. And I'll explain all this stuff. The goal as a Christian is to mature, right? I mean, I think we talked about last week how Paul even uses, he's like, hey, when you were a baby, you ate milk, right? That's what babies do. I'm convinced babies only do three things. They eat, they sleep, they poop. That's it. Okay, and cry. Okay, four things. But so Paul's like, hey, when you're an infant, that's all you do. You eat milk. And so he's kind of making this analogy that when you're a baby, you can't handle mature things and things that are spiritually mature. He's like, but as you grow up, which is the goal, that's the purpose, then you can handle meat. And he's talking about God's word and all that stuff. And I don't know why that's important, but it is. So as we mature, we begin to understand the power of grace in our personal lives. Like, I think that's obvious. Sometimes we fail. This is what happens. We fail to consider what our actions and our words, the implications that they have on other people. Like, man, and it's dangerous when we do that. Like, when you make grace and freedom all about you and you don't consider the people around you, then this is the thing. Your freedom can be a source of bondage for somebody else. That was an organ. Again, everybody knows what an organ is, right? But see, we're going to make organs cool because, like, when I say organ, you're thinking, like, old and stuffy, but I'm talking, like, fans and waving ourselves and all of that stuff. But I'm just kidding. You guys obviously don't watch TBN. I don't either. I'll leave that alone. Anyway, so when you think about freedom and it's only in terms of you and what you can do, that can actually be a source of bondage for other people. I love the idea. Think about this. One of the words that's used to describe this particular room that we're in is a sanctuary. Like, you guys have heard that, I'm sure. We don't really call it sanctuary just because it sounds really kind of weird and old, but it is. That's what a church auditorium or whatever you want to call it is referred to a lot of times as a sanctuary. And the idea is that you can come in and you can find rest and solace from all of the concerns and worries in the world. And so what happens is that our personal lives are awesome. There's this old song. I don't know where this stuff comes from. Like, stuff gets locked in my head, and I just randomly start singing these old songs. And Shelly's like, where did that come from? And she's supposed to be the one that sings, but I like to sing, but I can't sing, and she sings, and it's embarrassing, so in a good way. And so there's this old song. It says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And the idea is just simply that we are sanctuaries. Like, when we encounter people, we're supposed to be a place, a person, a relationship, a conversation they can come to and have and find some solace and comfort. And so when we have freedom in our lives, that's what it allows us to do. But if it's all about you and the things that you want to do, then you don't really extend that freedom to other people. I heard a quote one time. How many of you guys were in debate in high school or college or anybody in debate? How many of you got in debate just because you thought you could argue and you found out that's not really what it's about? And you're like, dang, that was my story. So anyway, I heard a quote one time. I was in debate, and it's called LD debate. It's basically you're by yourself, and you just talk a lot. So I don't know how that led to this or anything. But I used a value in one of my debates, and it was freedom. So I found this quote that backed up kind of my idea that freedom is the most important thing in the world. And it was from JFK, of all people. And he said, one man's freedom ends where another man's nose begins. And I thought, man, talk about how important that is for us spiritually. Like, my freedom to do certain things and to act a certain way and to think about things and say things really stops where your life begins and how I interfere with you and interact with you and can affect you and the things that you're doing. And I think that's really, because here's the deal, Christianity, man, if there's anything in the world that's not about you, it's Christianity. As much as it is about you, it's not about you. And I think that we understand the balance. And I just think that's a great way to start this whole conversation. Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, he gave a really interesting dialogue, or really it was just a one-way communication to a church that had a lot of similarities to the culture that we live in. And so there was a church in the city called Corinth, so he wrote to the Corinthians, and this is what he said, and I'll kind of give you some of the backstory. They experienced the grace of God just like we've experienced the grace of God. And what they had done is kind of taken that and used that as a license to do whatever it is they want to do. Because God has saved me, now essentially I can do whatever I want to do. They thought that that's what freedom was. And this is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. I have the right to do anything. And you see that's in quotations. That's what they say. But not everything is beneficial. So this is their mentality. Their mentality is, I have the right to do anything because I'm a child of God, because I'm saved, because Jesus has saved me and the grace of God is in my life. Now I have the right to do anything. And Paul's like, yeah, look, you could do anything, but not everything is beneficial. And they say, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And then he follows it up with this incredibly powerful phrase. He says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And so that's what freedom is. Freedom's never really just about you and your choices that you get to make. And I love the idea. Like, I was driving by this church, a small church, like way out in the sticks, and they have the best names for these churches. It's like Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm like, where's the mountain? Not seeing it, right? And I'm not making fun of any churches. I'm just saying it's interesting. There was another one, and it was Free Will Baptist Church. Free Will. Free Willy. I don't know. It's interesting to me. So I don't know why that's not funny to you guys. Y'all have no sense of humor. So anyway, I just think that it's really important that we understand freedom. And man, we are free to do a lot of things. And God has given us so much to enjoy in life. But there's also the other side of it where we have to consider what we do and how it affects other people. So after a really, really, really long introduction, that was just the intro. We're going to be here for a while. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that to you. After a long introduction, we're going to look at kind of either side of this, both sides of this. And again, the balance to be found. I think so many things in life are about balance. And the first one, and don't take this the wrong way, the first part of it is we're going to talk about some priggish folks. And I don't think you probably, have you ever heard of the word priggish? I think we get our common or more modern term prick from this. I know that seems very harsh, but in the context, it was priggish. And so there's a guy named C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book a long time ago, well, 50, 60 years ago, called Mere Christianity. And this is the term that he used to describe people who were very pretentious and high-minded and lived as if Christianity had no freedom in it. They're very uptight, right? And man, I just don't know that. I think you're missing the point when you live like that, because I don't know why Jesus would say in John chapter 10, verse 10, he's like, I came to give you life and abundant life, like full life, real life. And so we'll look at even more of that. So anyway, C.S. Lewis in this book, he talks about these legalistic folks, and he calls them, these are some of the words that he uses, pretentious, high-minded, and priggish. And I think we should implement the word priggish into our modern vernacular because it's so fun. He just doesn't mince words when he's talking about these people, and there's a lot of reasons why, because, I mean, their lives basically consist of judgmental looks, lack of joy, and they suck the air out of the room when they walk in. Have you ever encountered anybody like this? I don't feel like we have much of a problem with this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. These people just, they live like freedom doesn't exist. They try to live Christianity apart from freedom, and that's just not the way that it was intended to be. Like I said, judgmental looks, joyless lives sum up their existence. And they live on the end of the spectrum where the lack of liberty takes the pleasure out of life entirely. Like, and that's, I think it's so obvious when we're talking about it now that that's not the way that we're supposed to live lives. Why in the world would God give us emotions like joy and happiness and things that bring pleasure to us if we're not actually supposed to tap into those things? I just don't think that he would do that. And so as opposed to the people that Paul was talking about who went to the other side of freedom, these people live on this end of the spectrum where freedom is non-existent. And I don't think that, it's kind of interesting that they're so disciplined that they don't do certain things. But at the same time, it's counterproductive that they're so disciplined that they don't do certain things. Does that make sense? Probably not. Just go with it, okay? As commendable as their discipline is, like as impressive as it is that, hey, you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, what do you do? Like, what do you do? As commendable as it is that they don't do all of these things, I think it's really counterproductive because it doesn't portray, it doesn't accurately describe what Christianity is about and this God that is love and peace and happiness is all about. And so I think it's kind of off the mark. Think about it like this, like we talked about and alluded to earlier. John chapter 10, verse 10 says that Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. The word abundant, this is the definition. It means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, or uncommon. Like, so just kind of, you can interject or what's the word? Superimpose. There's another cool word. Juxtapose. Is that right? Any English majors? Come on, people. Anyway, so you can just put any one of these words kind of as a descriptive of the life that we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live superior lives. We're supposed to live extraordinary lives. We're supposed to live surpassing lives or uncommon lives. And you don't do any of that without freedom and the opportunity to enjoy the things that God has put in our life. When we fail to take advantage of the incredible things that God has created and all of the opportunities that he's put before us and live with kind of the sense of wonder and adventure, we really miss the mark. Like, it's just, we're missing the point. I think Daniel did such a phenomenal job a few weeks ago when he talked about this, and he talked about the expression, the glory of the Lord, and I've heard it described, the pronounced a few different ways. I heard kavod, kalbod. How would you pronounce it? You're the Hebrew major. Good. Thank you. Thanks for the picking me up there, bud. I owe you one. It's coming at you. And so, anyway, the definition is just the weight or the significance of God. So it's like the glory of the Lord covers the earth. So the weight or the significance of God is everywhere. And we just have to tap into it. Like, there's so many things that we get to enjoy and so many things in life that we get to do and see and be a part of. And freedom is such a major component of that. So if you extract yourself or displace yourself from freedom and you live in just this uptight world where you don't enjoy those things, you're really missing the point. So that's one side of it. God has given us so many things to enjoy. Like, we talk about this language all the time. It says that God is our Father. God is a father who's, you know, a much better father than I'm a father, right? Because I want to kill my kids sometimes, and God never kills us, so that's good. I mean, I guess I've never killed my kids yet, so. Yet. Are we recording this? Stop it. So, but this is the way that I think about it. Like, how many of you have had somebody give you something and tell you that you can't enjoy it just yet? Like, maybe I'm the worst. Man, I'm so bad about this. If somebody says, hey, I got your present, I'm like, give it to me. Like, well, your birthday is 2 months away. Well, you shouldn't have got the present so soon. Even when I get Shelly a gift, if I get Shelly a gift like a week before her birthday or anniversary or something like that, I'm like, hey, I got it. You want it? Let me give it to you right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. She's like, no. And it just frustrates. I hate the idea of having it and not being able to enjoy it. And God is not like that. Like, God's not going to put something out there for you to enjoy and it's like, oh, wait, you can't have it. It's not like, I guess the idea that keeps running through my head is like, God gives us a piece of candy. And he's like, I gave it to you, but you can't eat it. Wouldn't that suck? It would just be an awful existence. And so God gives us things that are pleasurable and enjoyable. And he doesn't say, don't ever use them. Don't ever tap into them. Now, there are certain restrictions and timing and all of that stuff. But I think you guys are smart people. It's not my job to micromanage your lives. It's my job to kind of point and give direction. And you are responsible and mature enough to figure some stuff out on your own. Right? Good. So the second one is this. And I don't know why. How many of you guys remember the song? Yeah, I'm free. Free falling. Anybody got a lighter? Let's go. And that's why I don't sing. That was my bad voice. I got a good voice. I just didn't want to bust it out on Sunday morning. And this is what happens when we go to the other side of freedom. You start free falling. And this is where we're going to kind of spend the vast majority of our time today. It's our primary focus. I just don't ever want us to be people who take advantage of the grace of God. And I know we talked about this a little bit more when we talked about grace and faith and works and all of that stuff. But I just don't ever want us to be people who take advantage of the grace of God. It's like the expression, and I know you've heard this, freedom isn't free. Like, somebody paid for your freedom. And with grace, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's a gift that's given to you. That doesn't mean that it was free. Like, Jesus paid for that with his life. And so I just don't want us to ever take advantage of the freedom that we've received in Jesus. And I think the way that we do that is that we pay it forward. Like, I think that's we're going to make a movie called Pay It Forward. It'd be really good. Blockbuster. Are we late on that one? I think we're a little late. And so one of the most dangerous things that we can do is to overcorrect to this side of freedom. Like Paul warned the Corinthians, he's like, look, you're right. You could do whatever you want to do. Like, you can do whatever you want to do, but not everything is good for you. You can do whatever you want to do, but not everything is good for the people around you. You can do whatever you want to do. All things, there's a, this other verse or other version. There's like 4 million versions of the Bible, and I just, and every one of them says it a little differently, and I'm start meshing them up, and I'm going to make my own version. It's going to be awesome. And it says that all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Like, dude, you can do whatever you want to do, but that doesn't mean that it's good for you. You can do whatever you want to do, but that doesn't mean that it's beneficial to the people that are in your community or in your life or the people that you're supposed to be encouraging and building up. You could absolutely do whatever you want to do. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Shelly, she's just throwing, you know, gasoline on a fire up here. And so this gets a little tricky, and especially I feel like in my position, I don't ever want to, you know, sound legalistic and tell you what you can and cannot do, because everybody's like, oh, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Right? And here's the deal. I've learned, unfortunately, over, you know, the course of doing this for a little while, that it doesn't matter if I tell you what to do. You're not going to do it anyway. So it just doesn't matter. So my point is just that I'm going to give some direction, and we're not going to talk about specifics, and we're not going to be legalistic, and I'm not going to tell you you can do this and you can't do this or anything like this. But it does get a little more tricky when you start talking about gray areas, things that aren't black and white, explicitly condoned or condemned in the Bible. And what people do is, of course, they kind of do whatever they feel is right. And that's great. That's fantastic. I think we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to, you know, if you're genuinely pursuing God and you ask and you want to know, I think you'll get the right answer for your life. But what we do is we just kind of say, oh, well, the Bible don't say anything, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And we don't ever consider, I'm not lying. I ain't lying. Although the Bible doesn't say anything about lying, so I probably could. I'm just kidding. It does. Let me give you, like, we know for sure, like it says, we're not supposed to kill somebody, right? Everybody knows you're not supposed to murder. Thou shall not murder. But what about having a bad attitude towards somebody? Doesn't really say that I can't get mad at you and, you know, be like, oh, I don't like you. Or condescending remarks, like saying things about people behind their back, although it does talk about gossip a lot. Just, I don't know, maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot with all of these analogies, because there's not a lot of gray, there's very few gray areas, but most people don't dig in enough to figure that out. We could pick any number of topics and things that you want to do, or situations in your life, or things that you want to say, or things that you want to think about. And what we have to do is just kind of think about it through this filter of freedom. Is my freedom, the things that I want to do, is it just affecting me, or is it affecting other people? Is it just profitable for me, or is it profitable for other people? Like Paul said, he's like, look, you can do whatever you want to do, but do good for other people. The responsibility is ours to determine whether or not the actions that we take, the words that we speak, and the attitude that we have, is it doing what we want, or is it doing what's best for other people? Let me give you just a quick example of this, and I'll probably destroy my own example, because that's what you do. What if we say things, and the way that we say things, because I'll do this. Like, how many of you know that sarcasm is so fun and so easy, right? Duh. Are you being sarcastic? I can't tell, okay? Like, it's so easy. Sarcasm is fun, and it's easy. And I like to kind of, you know, joke with people. And sometimes, like with the guys, you know, with the guys, we'll say things like joking around in jest, just kind of messing around. And we'll say things that are maybe kind of in the gray area, maybe a little mildly. Some of us are black and white inappropriate, but not pointing any fingers or anything. I think you know. But sometimes we'll say things and we don't consider the struggles of the people around us. So let's talk about this. Somebody that maybe says things like, you're just always and constantly sarcastic, and you just kind of pick on people. Well, you don't know how many times they've been picked on, and you don't know what it is that they're going through. Maybe they're already feeling insecure, and you just constantly just kind of nick at them, and you don't know what that does to them. Like, so yeah, you've got freedom to be sarcastic, and you've got freedom to kind of, you know, say what you want to say, but is your freedom affecting other people? Or if you say things that are maybe just a little off color, maybe just, you know, just a little bit, you know, perverted or sexual, just a little bit. I didn't cross the line. but maybe you don't know that the person that you're talking to has a lust problem they're trying to work through, and all you did was put a stumbling block in their path. And now what you said that didn't affect you has created all of these thoughts in their mind that will lead to one thing or lead to another. And so we have to be aware that the freedom that we have has the potential to be a stumbling block for other people. And you just got to think about it like that. That's one example of many. Like, there's so many different ways we can look at that. The point is just that we have to make sure that what we do, what we say, the way that we think, it's lawful and profitable. Lawful and profitable. Yeah, you can do it, but is it good for everybody else? Which kind of leads us to our last point, the middle ground, kind of the balance between the two. Freedom, you know, I guess the priggish folks and then the free-falling people. I don't know why. Who makes up these titles? I think I just send off my notes and somebody else makes up the titles. That's what I'm going to tell you anyway, because it was terrible. Like the analogy that we used earlier, like, God has absolutely given us things in life to enjoy, pleasurable things in life, kind of, I guess, with the idea of God giving us candy, that's just creepy. Like, is that not weird to you? I'm like, God gave me candy. That's just strange. But just imagine that God gave us something that we are able to enjoy, that we want to enjoy. And he didn't say you can't enjoy it. Like, obviously the point is to enjoy it. But he also doesn't want us to overdo it or be a stumbling block or cause somebody else to stumble along the way. I think about it like this, especially with candy. I mean, candy's not, man, you can eat a Tootsie Roll every once in a while. But what happens at Halloween? Man, we get stupid. And we're all like, oh, right? That's the danger of over. You've got freedom to eat all the candy you want until you're 400 pounds and diabetic. Right? And so I think that's kind of the idea. Absolutely. Enjoy life like you're supposed to. I think, why in the world would God is so impressive and creative with all the things that he's created. You know, you look at trees and the sky and the moon and the clouds and mountains and the oceans, and all of these things are absolutely beautiful. And he wouldn't put them out there if he didn't want us to enjoy them and kind of reflect on him and his creative ability and power and majesty and wonder and all of those things. He just wouldn't do that. We're supposed to enjoy life and live this abundant life that God intended for us to live and paid for us to live. It's like an all-expenses-paid trip. Hello. That's good. You can write that down. But just make sure that you're not doing that at the expense of other people. It's not about, man, it's not about legalism. It's not about, man, and most of us, we don't really use terms like this, but in culture or in Christianity, in Christian culture, people throw these terms around, you know, grace and legalism and all that stuff. Look, it's not about legalism. It's just about taking time to look at your life and making sure that what you do doesn't negatively or detrimentally affect other people. It's called responsibility. It's called being mature. Like, it's not legalism. It's just recognizing the fact that you're not the only person on the planet. Like, I have to tell my son all the time, I was like, hey, bro, world does not revolve around you, although he still isn't convinced. He's like, but I'm your son. Revolves around the sun. Pun. You guys will get it tomorrow. It's not about legalism, and it's not about, and this is where it gets a little tricky. It's not even about hiding things from people so that they don't know what you do in private. And let me, like, don't be shady, don't be weird, but there are certain things that you would do at home. There's conversations that I would have with my wife that I wouldn't have with you, right? I mean, I love you, but we ain't talking about it. I'm done. I heard somebody say one time, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. So I'm just going to shut it up. But it's not about being sneaky or shady or anything like that. It's just being mature and having spiritual discernment enough to know that, hey, I can talk to this person about this, but I'm not going to talk to somebody else about this. I can do this around this person, but I'm not going to do it around everybody else because I don't want to be a stumbling block to other people. Does that make sense? I hope that it does. That's the responsibility of freedom. We've been given freedom, and there's a responsibility that comes with that freedom, and that's to make sure that we offer freedom to other people. I want to close. There's a story, and I told you guys last week about this guy that I've been reading about called, his name is William Wilberforce. Say that 50 times fast, right? William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce. Anyway, you're going to go home, and you're going to try that, and your tongue's going to come back next week, and you're going to be knotted up. It's going to be awesome. But he had this idea that people in leadership should actually be kind of leaders. Maybe that's interesting, right? And not just leaders in the sense that they were smarter than you or had more money than you, but leaders in the sense that they actually had some morality. There was some character and substance to their life. And so one of the things that, he did in his lifetime, he abolished the slave trade in Europe, basically, in Great Britain, and then everybody followed suit in the late or the early 1800s. I'm just making sure all these facts are right, because there's so many things going on up top. Actually, there's not a lot of things going up top, but I just got to find the few things that are important. Right. And so one of the things that he did after that was he made sure that they sent missionaries to the country of India. And so this was what was interesting. They were actually, they were in India. Great Britain was in India, and they were kind of oppressively ruling the country. Like there's this, you know, they took over the land. Like we don't really know and understand stuff like it was then, because we don't do that. Like, you know, we're not going to take over Mexico. We're not going to take over Canada. Everybody's kind of got defined borders and all that stuff. Then it wasn't so much. And so they were in India, and they were ruling in India. They were very wealthy, probably the wealthiest and most powerful nation in the world at the time. And what they would do is they would not allow any missionaries to go into the country of India. And he was like, well, this is just, it's absolutely ridiculous that we can go in, we can oppress people, we can make money off of them, but we're not going to send any missionaries into the country. And so he just kind of had this idea that the freedom that they had received and the prosperity that they had received and the goodness and the grace of God that they had received, it's absolutely ridiculous that they not pay it forward to another group of people who are oppressed and being used and kind of essentially being treated as objects. And so I thought it was really fascinating that that was one of the goals of his life, was to pay forward the freedom that they had received. And it's no different for us. We're going to just, to kind of cap this thing off, look at the two verses that we looked at earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. That's one of those things that we need to get tattooed on our chest, so that when you look in the mirror in the morning, you're like, it's not about me. It's not about, right? No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And what's really cool is if you look just a few verses down, like we're not skipping things that are really important. It's just kind of appropriate for our conversation. In verses 31 through 33, it says, so whatever you eat or you drink, or so whether you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. And you really need to go home and read this whole verse or this whole chapter in context so you kind of get the idea. We don't have time for all that. You'd be asleep if I tried to talk about it all, okay? Because I've seen it. Everybody's like it's so funny. 11:55, people are like, your eyes start to cross. And I'm like, all right, I got to pick this thing up. So do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. Paul's like, look, this is the way that you're supposed to live your life. Live your life like I'm living my life. I try to please everybody. I try to make sure that the freedoms that I live out don't affect other people negatively or detrimentally. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. And that's what freedom is about. Freedom is not just about you. Freedom wasn't free. Freedom is about you absolutely enjoying life and doing the things that God has given you to do and taking advantage of the opportunities that he's given or placed in front of you. But you also have to consider other people. And I think this is not deep. This is not profound. It's logical. It just makes sense that we're interconnected as people, that we have relationships that are two-way. And so the things that you do affect other people. And so I think, man, let's just live like that. Don't seek your own good, but seek the good of other people. And that's what freedom is all about. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for the freedom that we have in you. God, it says that you are a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, that there is freedom. God, and we just recognize that you are everywhere and in everything. And so, God, we want to tap into the freedom that you've placed in front of us, God. But we also don't want to take advantage of your grace, and we don't want to do anything, God, that's harmful or detrimental to other people's walk with you or their pursuit of you. God, I pray that you would just help us to be mature and responsible enough to know, God, that the decisions that we make, God, and see how they affect other people. God, help us to not go so far to the side of freedom that we just do what we want to do because we want to do it, God. But help us to see it from the aspect or the perspective of that the things that we do, God, they affect other people. And help us to encourage people. Help us to build people up. Help us to point people towards you in everything that we do. God, we love you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.